This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We're back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Got a big day lined up for you. Jared Sandler will join us at 10:40. Kendrick Perkins at 11, Kevin.
Ooh.
And you know what? We're going to talk a little bit with Mike Bassick today about some baseball as well, because there is some baseball happening, but there's also a lot of football action to get into. I know you saw Sean Kemp and Gary Payton get after it last night in the intro for the Monday night football game, Kevin. The Rain Man sitting there in a Steve Largent jersey. I know you love Steve Largent so much.
Did Sean Kemp have all his kids there with him?
He didn't
him
have
too?
All of it. How is he going to fit all those kids on the screen?
Only in a stadium.
So that was a lot of fun stuff last night, but you saw the Seahawks and Vikings playing at a certain level of football. That was good football. They're good football. They're hard-hitting. They're fast. They know what they're doing. They play good football. Jason Witten was talking yesterday in the locker room, and he said he started off with execution of being a very broad term.
Execution is such a broad term. I think gets thrown out a lot when you're talking about it. But just got to play better. You know what I mean? In every makeup as a team, we have to play better. And each game is a different challenge and how it presents itself, and it never get easier or anything like that. I just think there's so much to talk about. You got to start faster. You got to sustain it. You got to be better in the red zone. You got to do all these different things. There's another level that you have to play at if you want to win divisions and play in the postseason. I think we're aware of that. A close group that approaches the right way. It's just, I think that's where the focus is. And so the teams that are able to have success in this league are the ones that can do that.
So, Kevin, you heard him say, and I know he got past the minutia part of got to play better, got to execute, but then he added that part of there's another level that you have to play at. There's another place that you have to be if you want to compete with the best teams. And my question today is 877-881-1053. Do you think the Cowboys can get hot late? Do you think the Cowboys can move themselves up to that level of football play? They're 9-3 in December since 2016, Kevin. So I don't know if that means that they're playing easier opponents in December, or you know, they're just playing looser in December, or what. But in the past, they've been able to do what it takes. At the moment, early in the season, the Cowboys have not looked good. Can they flip a switch and play at the level that Jason Witten says they know they're capable of playing at?
No. I mean, like, I understand that some people might argue yes, but, like, based on what? I want to know what that is based on outside of just hope. Because the only reason I say yes is because, I don't know, anything could happen. But other than that, based on, like, cold, hard facts, I don't think that that's likely at all. So I would be inclined to say no.
877-881-1053. Do you think the Cowboys can go on a late season run after what they've gone through already early in this season? Let's do a little radio rewind, Kevin, and go back to Sean and RJ. They have them on at 8:30 every Tuesday morning, and they had Jerry Jones on this morning, and he thinks they can go on the run.
If I were leaving training camp today, and that's a long way from now, but if I were leaving training camp today, I'd like to have this run that I've got right now, four games to get to the playoff, as healthy as we are, get our act together relative to what we're doing on both sides of the ball. And this.
So, wow, that kind of ended really
abruptly. He was furious with the rest of his answer.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's great. But again, you hope. He said, I would like to think. Sure, I would also like to think that the Cowboys win the next four games and then the four after that, and then they hoist up the Lombardi Trophy. Like, I think that would be super neat. But what is that based on? That is based on nothing. The most number of games you've won in a row were three, and that was against three of the worst teams in the league. So, I mean, I hope. I really do. But I don't see that happening at all.
I wonder how often, Kevin, we need to do a big study on this. Teams that go hot early in the season fade down the stretch. And the teams that get hot at some point in the season or find whatever it is that clicks late in the season and stay hot for that period of time. And the thing that we've seen from the Cowboys is sporadic here and there type of stuff. You know, like, oh, hey, we're really good at this for right now. And then the next game, you're not good at it. Or we're really good at this right now. And then the next game, we're not good at it. And that's the thing about this team. And Jason Witten said that. Cut 21, Shippy. Jason Witten was talking a little bit about how he knows what kind of team they are. It's just the consistency.
I think we do know what team we are, you know, and what we hope shows up. Just hasn't shown up consistently enough. You know, we believe that type of team we can be, and we see it on film. We've seen it at times. When it's been there, it's been really good. It's just it hasn't been consistently enough that you have to play in this league to be able to have success. So, you know, I understand that. I understand frustration comes with that when a team talks that way. And that's why I think the focus is what it has been, because it's like, okay, you know, the talk's cheap. We got to go be able to show that and play that way for four quarters.
What do you think he means when he says we know who we are? Because, like, do you think he's kind of saying, no, yeah, I we know who we are? But I mean, because I heard him say, like, well, we got flashes here and there, and that's awesome. But at the end of the day, like, they know who they are is not a legitimate playoff team, is what I feel like.
Because they kind of feel like they're not doing the things consistently enough to show that they are in the mix with the 10-4 teams.
Yes!
I think they know what they want to be. I don't think they know what they are. And maybe they do know that they're a 6-6 team. Maybe that's the reality that he's talking about. We know we're a 6-6 team. And that's a big concern if you know it and you're like, there's nothing we can add that's going to change that. There's nothing we can do that's going to change that. But Kevin, I think there is. I think we've seen the model that they want to be offensively. They just don't finish drives. And I don't know why. I don't know what changes. Kevin, I was watching the game and I was trying to pinpoint. You know how often I've talked about once they get past the 50, they seem to change their play calling and it looks different. One of the things that I love is they want to try and strike from the 40-yard line. They want to try and throw a touchdown from the 40-yard line.
Right.
Instead of trying to, because they've been abysmal in the red zone anyway, but they always seem to want to try to do it there. And I don't know if it's because they don't trust their play calling or they feel like that's the best opportunity to score. We can get a big play here. We can take a big chunk of yardage away from everybody, and we don't have to play a field position game. Or if they just say our plays aren't really designed to take advantage of the space we have there. I'm not exactly sure what the Cowboys' play calling is, but even still, you don't see the pattern enough. You don't see their negative patterns enough to know if their negative patterns coincide with their positive patterns. And that's something that I don't understand. They're an enigma right now, Kevin.
Did you just say I don't see their negative patterns enough? Because I feel like I see their negative patterns plenty. Have I been able to figure out a way to solve them? Well, obviously not one that anyone will listen to from the Cowboys, but I feel like I've seen their negative patterns plenty.
From the 832, we asked the question, Kevin, do you think the Cowboys can get hot late? You need to stop being so negative. Okay. Positive affirmations, Kevin.
Okay.
Although I did ask for your honest opinion. So,
okay.
From the 832, they have the talent to flip for sure.
Okay. That is a different. Okay. This is.
I don't know. How do you. When. What do you do to flip that switch, though?
So.
It's getting hot in here.
This is where I think the difference lies. Do I think, because I heard some people have like think that the Cowboys have just misevaluated their talent. I am with you, Corey. I do not feel that way. I think that they're plenty talented. And if that was the basic question, do the Dallas Cowboys have enough talent to make a run in the playoffs? Well, of course they do. Of course they do. But what have you seen from this team that leads you to believe that would be the case? All right. They have won more than two consecutive games one time this year. And that was at the very beginning of the season when you played the Giants, the Redskins, and the Dolphins, who to this moment, I think still have a combined 8 wins. So the idea of the Cowboys going on a hot streak, I think, is based on nothing. Could they do it? Yes. Again, in the context of a lot of things could happen, but the question is, do I think that? No. And I don't think anyone who does think that is basing that in reality as opposed to just hope.
My concern, my big concern is the idea of, I think they could limp into the playoffs and then beyond that, anything can happen in a playoff game, man. Anything can. But
sure.
In a one-game playoff, in a one-game matchup, Do I feel like my coach is going to create the right plan? So far this season, I haven't seen it. But you know what? I need to win one game this year, and that's against Philadelphia. For the rest of this stretch, I need to beat Philadelphia.
Right.
And do I believe that this team can do it? Yes. So that's one.
I do too.
I'm curious to find out more about, you know, the physical nature of what they have left in the tank, because they haven't shown everything that we've seen before. Jalen Smith hasn't been as physical as he was last year. DeMarcus Lawrence still has not been as physical as he was last year. He's still playing at a high level, but not as physical as he was last year. The defensive front, I don't know exactly what they're doing in the middle. That's a concern. But our safeties, our secondary, still hasn't played as physical. Offensive line hasn't either. So I know what I've seen in the past from them, not just this year, but in the past. But can that reboot at some point in the final four games and maybe in the playoffs as we go down from the 972, not the final countdown, Shippy, from the 972? I'm not optimistic, but they proved us wrong last year and went on a huge win streak for the back half of the season. From the 817, Kevin is better than the Dallas Cowboys. Enough said.
I mean, look, I'm consistent. I show up and do my job every day. I'm just saying, with the same level of consistency, whether you like it or not, but I would be glad if they prove me wrong. I'm not one of those people, like, I'm not one of those Dak haters who, like, couldn't accept when you found out that he totally was good and you had to kind of change your opinion about that. Like, I'd be glad to come on air and be like, oh, my God, you know what I was really wrong about? The Cowboys going on a run. And if they break off the next four games and they roll into the playoffs at 10-6, having won their division with the longest win streak among the playoff teams or something along those lines, well, hell yeah, I'll be fired up. I just don't see it at this moment.
Four words from the 903, Jarwin, Pollard, running Dak. They feel like if those three things are the key to this offense, then they're going to be able to win.
No, I disagree. I think you just listed the four words that people are going to bring up about why we lost, because they didn't do those things. Like, how long have people wanted to see more from Tony Pollard? Most of the season? How often have you seen more from Tony Pollard? Not much. How long have people wanted to see more from Blake Jarwin? Most of the season? How much have you seen it? Not much. How long have you wanted to see more of running Dak? Most of the season? How much have you seen it? Not much. Those four words are what people are going to bring up when you lose the wild card game.
Kevin, man, I love the Tolos so much. They're hilarious at times. And I'm again positive, Corey, for the rest of the run here, man. I went into walking the country and have a positive outlook on life. From the 972, I play the lotto and I could win. No, I didn't do that.
See, that's the same theory.
Just like the Cowboys could win the Super Bowl. What are my odds of winning the lottery? Probably like 1 in 200 million. That sounds about right for the Cowboys as well.
They're about the same as the odds of the Redskins winning the NFC East. Don't forget, that is still statistically possible. Let us never forget that.
From the 469, do y'all think that it helps with the fact that we have lost to all playoff teams? It seems harder to beat a good team twice in one season. I mean, I don't know. I think the Cowboys are a good team, so I think that they would have learned something from the last time they played. But good coaches are going to do what, Kevin? A good coach, they'll say, you know what we did last time? They're going to expect this. It's just like Garrett Cole throwing a pitch in the first inning that he's going to deliver on later on in the seventh inning, because that pitch that he did set up for that seventh inning out. That's what good coaches do. They plan early so that whatever they do, sometimes you show something so that you can switch it up. Sometimes you never show anything. I'm hoping so far the Cowboys haven't shown anything, so they got everything left in the tank at the end. But that's hope, Kevin. That's a lot of hope. That's a lot of hope that I'm relying on, just like Jerry.
Hope is not a strategy. But, yes, of course you can hope. I'm not going to take that away from you. I'm just going to say, if you ever wonder, that's why I disagree. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, where do you have the Mavs in your NBA power rankings? Plus, which NBA player is surprisingly infuriating Corey? We'll do that next right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Man, Jerry Jones, Kevin, dropped the, in my opinion, Jason Garrett will be coaching in the NFL next year with Sean and RJ this morning. And we'll play that audio a little bit in just a little bit. We got Kendrick Perkins coming up at 11 o'clock. We'll talk with him about Luka and everything the Mavs are doing right now and maybe his standings in the NBA.
God, I hope somebody asks Garrett at the press conference.
Think you'll have a job next year?
Yeah.
He could. He could be a coordinator. He could be an assistant coach.
What?
Maybe he's a good coordinator. I don't know. At his age, he's probably not willing to take that kind of back step. But you have to love when Jerry did point out, when he decided to go very young with his coaching staff, he thought Jason Garrett will be the safety net. If there are any problems, if there's any concerns, then, and Kellen Moore's not doing well, then I can always turn to Jason to go ahead and run the offense, or Jason to go ahead and do this, or Jason to be the guy that's done this for long enough that he can take the heat, he can take the information and try and work these guys out, try and help them become better coaches. It just, maybe that is the problem, Kevin. Maybe that's been it. Maybe there's not enough organization in the coaching staff yet with this team, but they better find out fast. Otherwise, what Jerry says, it means he will be coaching somewhere else. All right, Kevin, where do the Mavericks rank in your NBA? 877-881-1053. Kevin, we didn't get into this yesterday. We didn't get deep enough. I agree with you, Shippy, number one. We didn't dive deep enough into this, but you put them in your top four.
And I did.
That's fascinating to me, but I also like it because you feel like Luka's a top 41 player, but not necessarily a leader of a top four team.
Ooh, man. Maybe he breaks the top 30.
What are you
Is
doing?
Too high?
What are you doing right now?
So, and I really like this. From the 6'8"2, I've never really watched the Mavericks before, but now I find myself wanting to watch most nights because of this station. Keep talking Luka. By the way, fun note about Luka. He has now leapfrogged James Harden in the NBA MVP betting odds. He is now second. Who do you think he's behind? He's only behind one player in the NBA. Luka, second candidate for MVP, behind only, can you guess?
Giannis.
Yes, Giannis Antetokounmpo is number one. Then Luka. Then Harden.
Antetokounmpo.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Very close, Mike.
Then LeBron. Then Anthony Davis. Joel Embiid making a run up there in sixth. So, yeah, Luka is now second. So, going into the Lakers game the other day, I had the Mavericks at six, and for some reason that infuriated some people. And I said if they win, I think I would put them in the top four, and they won. And so I will absolutely put them in the top four, even though they have the 10th best record in the NBA. Like, for as much hysteria as there is, and we're a fourth of the way through the season, more or less, they still only have the 10th best record in the NBA. However, they have a slew of quality wins. Second best team in the East, Toronto. Mavericks beat them. Best team in the West, Lakers. Mavericks beat them. Second best team in the West, the Nuggets. Mavericks beat them. Team right behind them, the Rockets. Mavericks beat them. So the Mavericks have an unbelievable slate of quality wins. And that's why I put them at four. I still put the Clippers at one because when the Clippers have all their weapons out there and they give a crap, they're the best team in the NBA. That's a fact. Then I'm going to say Milwaukee Bucks, because the Milwaukee Bucks, meanwhile, they're lingering over in the East where nobody really cares what's going on. They've just been beating people to death, and they've won 12 games in a row, and they have the largest margin of victory average in the NBA. Then I'm going to put the Lakers at third. Then I'm going to put the Mavericks at fourth. And I know that might be perplexing to some. Well, come on. Why? I know that might be perplexing to some since we just beat the Lakers, but keep in mind the Lakers are still 17-3, and I you know, it takes a little bit more time for me to bump the Mavericks up. But they're already up to four, which is crazy.
So they lost the Knicks a couple times, right?
Yes.
And everybody like freaked out about that.
Those are bad losses.
They are bad losses, but that's fine. Like, you can move beyond because of the wins you've had since then too. So I think that's one of the things that everybody's like, whoa. The Ringer did a story, Kevin, that really analyzes and breaks down how he's gone on this MVP look so far. My concern is, can he keep it up? Here's the reason. He leads the league in touches, 98.8 per game.
Luka, gotcha.
LeBron and Jokic are the only other players with at least 91 or more than 91 touches a game. Luka averages about 9.2 seconds of ball time, all right? And LeBron and Jokic combined for like 10.8. So no NBA player has touched the ball as much as Luka in the past six seasons, they say on The Ringer.
Wow.
And so when you're looking at how often he has the ball in his hand and how important he is to the team, like, I love that he's important to the team and that he's playing there. Because even you heard Mike, we got our guy. We have the guy. Sustainability is my only question. When does he get tired? How does he respond whenever he's tired? The fact that he played professional basketball at such a young age and is still young and has the youthful legs, I think that benefits because he already had some of the stamina, but it changes a little bit when you get to the NBA. The other thing, Kevin, is like whenever you're averaging 30.2, 9.9, and 9.6 a game, not everybody else gets to score the ball a lot.
Yeah,
What Rick Carlisle did with his adjustments is he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start putting guys on the team, or you know, with him, that don't need the ball that often. That way they can help out, you know, with the rebounding and the defensive side, but also Luka can go out there and do his thing, set them up. They just have to deliver whenever they get those opportunities.
And they have in spots. Like, you can look at a couple of different games where Kristaps was the difference maker, and quite frankly, a couple of different games where Tim Hardaway Jr. was the difference maker.
Rick Carlisle used 8 different starting lineups in the first 13 games, and now he's settled on Doncic, Porzingis, Dwight Powell, Finney Smith, and Tim Hardaway Jr. All right? That group right now, Kevin, has a plus 24 in 88 minutes. That's the best among all NBA lineups in the NBA with at least 80 minutes.
So, and if ever there were a time that you were going to have a really high usage rate of a player, these next several years are when you should absolutely go after it with Luka. From the 469, it's because Luka is a ball hog. He will be the next Carmelo Anthony. We'll get back to that player in just a second. But I want to point out the reason why that is absolutely already untrue. Luka has already put up consistent rebounding and assist numbers that Carmelo Anthony never did. Carmelo Anthony never showed the desire, the want to, the whatever you want to call it, to rebound and assist and pass at this level. So I disagree with that. For the 972, maybe that was part of the KP trade. The Mavericks had to give away a couple of games to the Knicks for the next 2 or 3 years. That's probably fair.
I said that yesterday, actually. Yeah, no, I'm fine with that. Give them some wins every once in a while.
Now, outside,
plus they were playing amped up, like mentally.
Sure,
I think they were treating that as their championship game.
Outside of the two bad losses to the Knicks, you only have one other really bad loss. Not that it actually matters. This isn't BCS style. Is that loss to the Trailblazers? But other than that, your losses are to the Celtics, the Lakers, and the Clippers. I have two of those in my top three, and the Celtics would certainly be in the top six or seven. So the thing that's encouraging about that is if you want to be an elite team more often than not, you need to bury the garbage teams that you play against. And outside of those two games against the Knicks, the Mavericks have consistently been smashing the subpar teams that they've been playing. And if you can play competitively and win a handful of games against the really good teams and smash the crap teams, that gives you a first-round playoff series that you're going to host.
All right, so you did remember early in the season we said there was the group of five that the Mavericks had to compete with. Has that group changed? Because you were competing for an 8 spot.
Correct.
But it seems now that this Mavericks team might be competing for a 4 spot. And did that group of five change? And now you still have to beat the Timberwolves, the Suns, the Kings. You still have to beat the Trailblazers and the Spurs. But has it rotated a little bit? And now are your expectations? I have to beat the Clippers, Rockets, and Nuggets.
I, you know what? The two of those teams are the teams I have in the mix. I don't know about the Clippers. It's still kind of hard to tell if they're going to have this like disinterested vibe for the majority of the regular season. I would put Denver in the mix. So I would say your group of three now is Denver, Houston, and Utah. I mean, you got Denver at two, Houston at five, Utah at six. I would say those are the three teams that you're kind of jockeying for a position with if you want to host a playoff series. And some people might be more concerned about the matchup. Like, quite frankly, if you somehow finish in the five seed and you got to play Minnesota in the opening round, wouldn't you prefer that to hosting a series and opening against the Jazz? Because yeah. I certainly would. So it might be more about the matchup. But if you want to host an opening round series, I would say Denver, Utah, and Houston are probably the three teams that you need to be concerned with. But I want to take a step back and point out one of the players that somebody brought up on the fan text. Corey.
I'm furious. Mavs fans should be furious right
and
now.
And I don't know why you're furious. That's why I'm so intrigued. We did not go further in depth than this in the pre-show. Tell me which NBA player is infuriating you and why.
LeBron James.
No, it's not LeBron James. Brad Botkin of CBS Sports.
What team does he play for?
No, he's of CBS Sports.
Brad Botkin?
He wrote this. Here's the first paragraph, Kevin.
His name's Brad?
How many of you guys agree? Everybody loves Carmelo Anthony.
No.
His teammates rave about him. His peers borderline worship him.
What?
Personally, the Blazers are usually the first team I check on League Pass these days. I want to watch Melo. He's as smooth as ever. I'm not just rooting for him. I'm prepared to die on the Melo is still good hill. That's what he said.
Wow.
And then he dropped the news that Carmelo Anthony had been named Western Conference Player of the Week, Kevin. And he said even he had to step back and be like, hold on, what? How did that happen? Now, I really want to point this out. Strictly numbers, 22.3, 7.7, 2.7 assists in three games last week. Luka was better. James Harden was better. Luka was over the 40-point mark twice. Harden averaged 42 points per game last week and nearly doubled Melo's output.
Yeah, he also, but did they win three games?
He also posted 24 assists. You're right. I guess that's the point. The Rockets went 2-1, and Melo went 3-0.
Yeah.
Or the fighting Melos, as we like to call them nowadays. Yep. Mm-hmm. Portland also played the Bulls twice and the Thunder, so I don't know if the competition was slotting in this.
And those teams are terrible.
But Luka was fantastic last week. He was phenomenal. And I know James Harden put in 62. But 60
in,
as well.
In three quarters.
Yeah. So I don't understand why Carmelo Anthony with 22.77, 2.7 was named Offensive Player of the Week, or Western Conference Player of the Week last week. I personally have never really liked him. I thought he was great coming out of college. I was excited about that and what he could do. Then one day I watched him laugh at Dirk while he was playing for the Nuggets.
Oh, yeah.
And so personally, I got all like vindictive about it and everything. So I just didn't see these numbers just stood out in such a different way to me.
You should have known that this was going to happen because this is what Carmelo Anthony does. He thrives on bad teams. Look, I know the Portland Trailblazers have elements of excellence, and do I want CJ McCollum over here? Sure. And also, I saw some people shouting out for Kevin Love. Okay, I would absolutely do that as well and add to your rebounding portfolio. But Carmelo Anthony thrives in poor situations. It's when the pressure is turned on or the playoffs are turned on that he's like, ooh, yeah, let me see if I can just play nothing but hero ball and we're probably going to lose. Right now, Portland is 8-12. Should they be better than 8-12? Of course. Did they beat the Mavericks? Yes, they did. But they were 5-12. This is the scenario in which Carmelo Anthony thrives.
Melo scored 67 points in three games. Harden scored 60 in three quarters. I don't get it. Also, Doncic out assisted him too, 27-8. So I just
big shock.
I guess
there.
They have to give it to somebody, right? It's this week was the Hey You Played Award, right?
Look, Alanis Morissette's going on a Jagged Little Pill tour. People are enjoying their moment of nostalgia.
Oh yeah, Jagged Little Pill tour 2020.
So there's Carmelo winning Player of the Week. People are just on a nostalgia tour. Maybe that means it's time for the Cowboys to win the Super
Remember
Bowl.
Remember what Morissette said in that song?
No.
About Dave Cooley?
I don't think we can get into that.
All right.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, I do believe we'll hear from Coach Garrett and also Jared Sandler about maybe getting Anthony Rendon. We'll do it next on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, we're waiting for Jason Garrett press conference to come up in just a moment. Shippy, pull up cut 25 real quick. Kevin, a lot of people are talking like Jason Garrett right now, but there is a mindset I think that you've always loved, and that is, hey, you don't need to be fired up. Here's what Dak thinks about it.
They have their times, but if you need to be fired up at 6-6, this is in the locker room for you.
Oh,
wow.
You've said on many occasions, look, I don't need pep talks.
Yeah, and I agree with that. You kind of wish that you had seen more of the translation of I don't need to be fired up because I'm already ready to be fired up.
All right, let's go to the Jason Garrett press conference brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas.
Back in a little bit more today.
Anybody specifically?
Well, Cobb, will he be back in?
Yeah, we anticipate Randall. Randall just had got sick yesterday, so wasn't able to do anything. Feeling better, trying to get his strength back. We do anticipate him doing something today.
Others would be Leighton Vander Esch, Heath, and Woods.
Yeah, none of those guys, if they do anything, they'll be limited.
What are you looking for specifically with Vander Esch as far as just this completely abate the symptoms or just improvement in the area?
Yeah, I'm not the expert, but certainly you don't want him to be symptomatic in any way. So, just get his feedback, see how he's doing, see how he's feeling. It seems like a lot of things that he does, he's fine. And then there are certain things when he does this bothers me or I feel it. So, again, we just have to listen to him, get his feedback, and be patient.
It appears you're going outside again today for practice. So, yep. Can you just discuss why you're doing that?
Yeah, again, the grass field up in Chicago. So we have the opportunity to work on grass. And, obviously it's hard for us to recreate the weather conditions in Dallas that you're going to get in Chicago, but dealing with the grass is something we can do, so hopefully we can take advantage of that.
Tyron popped up on the injury report limited yesterday. Was that something bothering him coming out of the game?
It was just an Achilles that was bothering him, so he should be limited today. Hopefully he'll be ready to go.
Dak talked yesterday about, talk is cheap, it's about action now, and people want to just follow him. You talk about how he is kind of been out here, how he's practiced, and how he's led this team doing these struggles.
Yeah, Dak's an outstanding leader. He's obviously a really, really good football player, and he's an outstanding leader and has been since he's been here. And, I think the traits that stick out are just how he leads by example. There's no one in our building who works harder than Dak Prescott, off-season programs, preparation each day to play his best each week, and he's very consistent. When you have success, very consistent, comes back to work. When you have adversity, very consistent. I think that's something that the guys in our team rally around, and is contagious. And obviously a really good football player, but his impact on our team goes far beyond what he does on the field.
Can you get a read on your team during the week and practice, and think, okay, this will carry over to the game, or can you get fooled sometimes that they practice well, don't play well, practice poorly, play well?
Yeah, again, we try to focus on the day and try to be our best in our preparation, have two good days of practice, got to go out there today and lock in and prepare as well as we can on Friday to get ready for a Thursday night game.
How did Tristan Hill play with more snaps?
Tristan did a good job in the game. There's no question he's getting better and better. I thought he did a good job being disciplined, doing what he was supposed to do. He was assignment sound, and then he made a couple plays in the game. So he'll learn from that experience.
Expect him to be active again this week, given your injury situation.
Yeah, again, we'll get that stuff to you guys as we get closer to the game. But, he was up last week because Antoine wasn't able to play. So we'll see how Antoine does over the next couple of days.
You say assignment sound and gap discipline and things like that. I mean, isn't that something that every defense everywhere always talks about? Was he a guy at UCF that, freelanced or whatever?
It's for everybody. That's when you play your best defense. And obviously the team on the other side is trying to prevent you from being gap sound. That's why they have double teams and all of that. But, he did a really good job, just sticking in there. If he's an A-gap player, be an A-gap player. And He can be a disruptive player. He can be a guy who can make some plays. But first and foremost, you have to be fundamentally sound and disciplined, and I thought he handled that well.
You know, by December, every football player is dealing with, you know, some sort of injury. But is it any more impressive the amount of things Amari Cooper's fought through this year, going all the way back to training camp?
Yeah, I agree with your premise all the way through. You know, a lot of guys who play a lot of snaps every week are dealing with different things. You know, bumps and bruises. Maybe they had an injury here that's still lingering. All of that. You know, Amari's done a really good job, obviously, dealing with a few things that he's had. We've had a number of guys like that, and, you know, it goes to the kind of guys they are and the mental toughness they have. All right, good to see you guys.
And we're back here on the KNC Masterpiece, Kevin. As
well, they did
Jason
not waste
Garrett
any time with that.
Did not
they?
Waste any time to get that thing out of the way, because he's got important business to get to, Kevin. He's got important things that he has to accomplish right now. The one thing I do know is that the thing that's permeating throughout that locker room right now is Jason Garrett speak. And all the things about their focus, how to get their mind right, that's where they are. They truly believe it. I hear people say brainwashed, you know, whenever I see it on the fan text all the time. Jason Garrett has brainwashed these guys. But they believe that Jason Garrett truly believes in everything that he's been preaching throughout his entire existence as the head coach of the Cowboys. And so they feel like if they follow through, because it's led to success in the past, you know, it's not that they've won the Super Bowl, but they've had success by doing the right things. And they feel that Jason Garrett, if they continue to listen to him and do those right things, will give them the opportunity to be in position to win games.
Let's transition from the Cowboys to the Rangers. We bring in Jared Sandler on Sunday. Jared Sandler swinging for a cause, charity extravaganza to benefit Special Olympics. And I want to talk more about that in just a second. But in the meantime, I want to talk about giving all the money to Anthony Rendon.
Yeah, let's do it. You know, it makes a lot of sense, guys, because the Rangers have certain needs, and sometimes you look at them from like a positional standpoint. You need a third baseman. You need a this position or that position, but it goes beyond that. You know, they got a need for a right-handed bat. They got a need for a bona fide superstar, and even though Anthony Rendon doesn't necessarily have the superstar personality, he doesn't play to the cameras. He's not all about the glitz and the glamour. If you look at his numbers, he's got superstar production now over the last 3 years. He's a right-handed bat, a third baseman, and that checks a lot of boxes. So it's not a surprise that the Rangers are interested. They have the money. It's a matter of whether, you know, they evaluate it in a way that it's worthwhile spending that money on him. But, you know, it makes sense that they're favored, or it makes sense that they're, you know, really in the mix. And you know, wouldn't be surprised if in the next couple weeks we got a new shiny toy at third base. And, you know, if it's not Rendon, you know, it could be someone else. You know, I don't necessarily think Miguel Andujar is as likely. You know, the Josh Donaldson thing, that conversation's interesting. But there are a lot of reasons why the Anthony Rendon to the Rangers rumor is, you know, more than a rumor and something that seems like could make a lot of sense for both sides.
Now, you said that, you know, the Rangers will have some determinations to have to make. Do you feel like, you know, having that meeting with Boris kind of means that, like, they've already decided if they can win the bidding, this is the guy for them?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because, you know, as you guys know, Scott Boras is so tough to predict.
Yeah.
And what makes this offseason interesting to an even greater degree is that who are the big free agents? Anthony Rendon, Gerrit Cole, Steven Strasburg, and maybe to a slightly lesser extent, Zach Wheeler. Those are all Boras guys. And so how that's going to play out will be interesting. Boras tends to wait, but maybe he doesn't wait as long for a guy like Rendon, who personality-wise, you know, as I mentioned, isn't a glitz and glamour guy. He's not, you know, he's not going to milk anything for attention. He's a guy who likes to play baseball, and he does the media stuff because he kind of has to, and he's a stud, but he just wants to play baseball, and he seems like the type of guy who would just want to get something like this done. And, you know, the Rangers and the Nationals and other teams might have the same years and same value, but how do they come up with the money? Is it front-loaded? Is it back-loaded? Is it deferred? Is it, you know, just straight up. And, you know, those sorts of things can be separating factors. But I do think that the meeting is an indication that this is more than a pipe dream or more than just, you know, putzes like me saying, hey, this could make sense. This is legitimate. And the Rangers, I think, are ready to be big players, not just this offseason. I think the next few off seasons are going to be really exciting as they kind of kick it into high gear to build what they hope to be a World Series contender. I don't think they felt like they were at the right time to do that in the past few off seasons. That's, you know, I think a big reason why they haven't spent as much. I think they feel like they're within range. They're within striking distance. And when you're within striking distance, that's when you're typically more comfortable giving out these big deals.
The Rangers pitching situation, is Gibson going to be good enough for this team, or do they still need to say, okay, we got to figure out if we have young depth here?
Yeah, I think what Kyle Gibson does, like if he's your three, you're probably a little underwhelmed. If he's your four, you're cool with that. And if he's your five, that's awesome. Because you got a veteran established pitcher who has a track record of eating innings as your number five starter. And that's a really good rotation. If he's a four, it still could be a really good rotation depending on what's ahead of him. You know, if it goes some combination of Mike Minor, Lance Lynn, Zach Wheeler, and then Kyle Gibson with one of the young guns battling out for that fifth spot, that's a great five. And the reality is, you know, they're going to go more than five deep. They're going to start 7, 8, 9, 10, maybe even 11 pitchers throughout the year. And with those young guys, they're all under control. So you don't have to worry about, you know, and they don't like to hear this. They all want to make the opening day roster. But, you know, for a veteran like Jason Hamill last year, I know he ended up retiring after they gave him a spot on the roster, but they gave him a spot on the roster because had they not, he could have opted out and he wasn't going to accept a minor league assignment. Thus, you not only lose him from the major league club, you lose him from the organization. With the Colby Allards and the Brock Burks and these young guys, you don't have that risk. If they don't make the major league team, they go to AAA, they continue to get experience, they're young, they're not behind schedule by any means if that were to be the case, and then when someone gets hurt or maybe they pitch their way to the big leagues, you bring them up. So Kyle Gibson kind of gives the Rangers some security because the more of these young guys you have in the rotation to start the year, that probably means your depth beyond those guys is going to be weaker. And it's also asking a lot for some of these guys to shoulder the load. You're not rushing them along. You give them time to come up when they're ready. They hatch when they're ready to hatch as opposed to because there's a need, like there kind of was towards the end of last year.
Jared, we've been known as the party bay, according to most of the people in the world right now, for the Swinging for a Cause. We got Mike Adams, we got Brian Broaddus and Craig Ludwig hanging out with us. Let's talk. Yeah, it is the party bay, everybody. So I want you to give everybody the reason and how they can bid on this bay and everything else that they can help out with Swinging for a Cause.
Yeah, well, and you also have the party king of DFW, Jonathan Shippy Shipman.
Absolutely.
Now in the mix. So that's kind of like, you know, the Golden State Warriors adding Kevin Durant.
So in a couple of years, we're primed for a fall. I gotcha.
I don't know who's going to tear their Achilles on Sunday, but my money is definitely not on Shippy. I think he's still in his prime physically and from a party standpoint. But yeah, so during the show and really throughout the day, you can call 877-881-1053. Someone will answer the phone and just place your bid. I think the bidding starts at $600. So with the bid to play in your bay, you get to hang out with the three guys you mentioned, Broaddus, Mike Adams, Craig Ludwig, and those guys go hard too. You know, Kevin and Corey will be there. Shippy will be there. And then there are plenty of celebrities who are going to be there, not necessarily tied to a bay. You'll get a chance to hang out with them, like Michael Young, Drew Pearson, guys like that, former Cowboys Super Bowl MVP Larry Brown. And you got guys on the Rangers and people from the Cowboys and whatnot. And you get to play golf, you get to drink, you get to eat. It's a lot of fun, all raising money for kids with physical and intellectual disabilities so we can really make a difference within that community and help continue to give these kids opportunities to grow, you know, in our society and be able to get the type of support that they need.
Well, I'm currently winning two of your auctions, so I very much appreciate the vast variety of auction items you have, all for an awesome cause. Thanks, Jared.
Well, I appreciate it, fellas. Thank you.
Jared Sandler, Sandlot, swinging for a cause Sunday at Top Golf. If you want to bid for our auction bay, 877-881-1053. Coming up next, let's talk some more basketball with Kendrick Perkins. What does he think about KP? Probably Luka too. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.